Blog Talk Radio.
Heim och kvar i sång i dig, vakna dig och edelig dränge, de höjre nyckeln på havet skriv, för dig ett sover dig för länge. Heim och kvar i sång i lund, vakna dig och edelig dränge, de höjre nyckeln den hejen hund, för dig ett sover dig för länge. Nyckeln han talar till styringsman, vakna dig och edelig dränge, du styrer mitt skip på Kristi land, för dig ett sover dig länge. Ek vill mig på Kristi land gå, vakna dig och edelig dränge, den vene jomfru var villig få, för dig sover dig.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I'm Golden Hawk, and I'm multitasking. I am here tonight with my very, very sleepy, enchanted partner, my little punky head, Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hello, everybody. I'm awake. I'm awake. I've shown up, That's a brave thing to do.
Yeah, Janine is going to show us how graceful being sleepy looks tonight. So, everybody, pens and papers out. Take note. Graceful sleepy.
But I already feel more awake, so that's good.
Yeah, well, I mean, because the minute you connect with the audience, and just so everybody knows, we have a chat room open. I have opened a chat room. You know, and I'll casually glance at it, but the truth is you're mostly unmanned. You know, you guys in the chat room have fun. I keep an eye on the switchboard and and the conversation going on. So, you know, me and Janine discussed on our spontaneous show on Saturday that we were gonna start opening chat rooms, and you know, hey, I'm in.
That's right.
I'm in, you're in.
Thanks, Doris.
Thanks to Doris, exactly. Thank you, Doris.
From St. Louis.
Yes, which, by the way, I have seen the name St. Louis. The day we did the show, that night I watched on TV the movie Sex and the City. The movie was on.
Right.
Several references of St. Louis because Jennifer Hudson, who plays Carrie's assistant, is from St. Louis, and so there were several references of St. Louis in the show, and I kept hearing it. And then Jennifer Adele, who's a fabulous totem animal person and rescues wildlife, she wrote an article about St. Louis. And I was just like, okay, this is, it's speaking to me, I'm not quite sure what St. Louis means, meaning I don't know what the message is, but I'm keen on it, and I was keen on the article that I wrote that I read from Jennifer as much as Sex and the City, but there's a connection. I'm really not quite sure what that connection is though, so I'm not going to actually say that I know what it is. I don't know what it is other than it's got my awareness through St. Louis. With the beginning of it, of course, being when Doris called in on Saturday, it was really a profound call. Me and Janine both found the profundity of and the timing of her call with our dreams and all of it. I was just delighted that she showed up as the radiant essence that I know sharing transparently attracts. You know, this is, we're kind of, you know, we're living the congruent life, the transparent life. And that basically equates to, you know, we put it out there, you know, and I don't make apologies for it, but I try not to, you know, be rude. I'm just blunt. I'm just blunt and I'm truthful. And it was interesting, Janine, I don't know if you remembered, over the weekend, somebody on my wall, they're friends. They don't really interact so much with me. I didn't recognize the name as anybody I've had kind of contact with. But she had a post that basically said, what's your legacy in this life? After you die, what do you think people will say about you?
Wait, someone else said this? Or?
Well, that was the post. And so she was looking for us to, like, a woman, a friend of hers or whatever answered, this woman answered, you know, I'm a being of God, and I hope people recognize me for the beauty and the gifts. Hold on. Bless you! I just told him before the show, I go, even if you sneeze when I'm on the show, I got your back. The audience will wait. I got your back. Because Scott is very conscious to say bless you to me every time I sneeze. I have a feeling, a sense that somewhere in his belief system, it's like, no, it's very important to say. And I honor that. I find when people don't say it, it's like, come on, you got to say it. You know, everybody says bless you. It's a great time to bless somebody. Anyways, okay, I'm all over the place. So, what was I saying before that?
You were saying that what's your legacy when you...
Oh, right, right. So what's your legacy when you die? And, you know, a woman that first answered the post wrote something just very love and light. I basically wrote, when I die, people will know that I didn't give a shit what they thought. And it was so funny, before I hit the send button or the enter button, I hesitated. And one of the things I'm really starting to, Janine Kimmel's in our chat room. Hi, honey. one of the things I am
Doris.
Recognizing. Oh, so is Doris. You're right. Hello, Doris. Sweet. Very good. So one of the things that I'm recognizing is that, the editing of what I say, you know, because, you know, of course, when I wrote, you know, my legacy is that people are going to say I don't give a shit. That can be, you know, that's a pretty abrupt, you know,
yeah.
I get that I'm kind of coming in like the, what's that big weight thing called that they show in, like, cartoons that used to land on Wile E. Coyote's head, Manvil? Anvil?
Yeah.
An anvil, is that a correct? The big heavy...
Anvil.
Okay.
Yes.
With an A. Okay.
Yes.
So I get that when I show up with my authenticity, I can come in as an anvil. You know, it's not for everybody, but the blessing of being authentic is the goal isn't to be with everybody.
Mm.
The goal is to be with, because I think some beings look at the anvil not as a clumsy, heavy object that could break their toe, but as a presence, as a stability, as, you know, you could stop a train, so to speak, with an anvil. You know, in other words, the same principles apply to the affirming way of being instead of, you know, the no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Don't be too strong. No. Because whatever's going on lately, I am busting out of my eggshell. I am becoming.
Yeah, I like it too, because I love.
Thank you.
I love the joy you're having of socializing. I think that's so, you know, because the fun thing for me is, and the endearing thing for me, and the intimate thing for me, and the gift of being with someone on their process, like I've been with you, is that, you know, I get to see and feel and observe the all that's kind of happened since we started the Mystical Mother Earth Show. And obviously prior to that, when we had, you know, our calls called Mastermind, but more so as we became closer But it's just so fun. It's so fun to see the simple, because I was even saying in an email today, and I know it's kind of interesting to be kind of spacey like I am, and part of me enjoys it, and part of me is like, wow, this is kind of different. But on the other hand, I think there's a certain openness in my spaciness and sort of, you know, just sort of taking it in without much, I'm not even sort of judging it. It's just sort of like, okay, you know, like I'm just taking it in. But I'm noticing, you know, I've sat there really with a smile on my face in true happiness, feeling how much fun you're having being social. And it's just great. You know, I remember sitting in the airport last week in Toronto Airport and just listening about your birthday party. And I was in a very different space because there I was in the Toronto Airport. I'd just come out of like this weekend thing with the Vision of the Heart and the Drum Journey, and I was in this space place, which was fun, but it was a very different place than you. And I was so enjoying how happy you were, and it, you know, and yeah, and it was just, you know, it's just great, and it's just, it's really joyful to just feel a friend's, you know, advancement and enjoying Aww. Things that are so, they're so simple, because that's even another thing I wrote today, just that I'm noticing, you know, oh, so someone I might do in California, I got someone asked me today, maybe it might happen that at the end of April, I might do this workshop for children out in the LA area.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, with doing what's
called...
Need
an assistant?
No. So, you know, I might do a haiku workshop for children. You know, haikus are very little. They're little poems. They're like, you know, like a five-word, three-line, five-line. You know, it's like a 5-3-5 or so. I have to go brush up on my haiku. But what
okay.
I wrote about... What I wrote about the whole premise of the haiku is that, well, it's a very distilled, like poem that you would bring into this. It's almost a concentratedness in a few words. And
right.
What I love about it, though, is I said, yeah, because the small things are really the big things. And when I said that, and I said like words, they're small but they're big, and like. You know, so it's, you know, it's kind of this, you know, I should really appreciate where I am more. But it's like, I'm really, you know, it's just like I'm noticing all the small things and how big they are, you know. So I'm noticing your joy of being social, and it's great, you know. And, yeah, so I don't know. It's just been really... you know, and then you even said it to me tonight, and I'm like, I know. I know. It's so great, you know.
it's new. It's very new for me.
No,
it,
I know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's
yeah.
funny because I'm not a very social person, especially when you're doing, you know, you do go into these periods as, yes, I was more social as a young mom, not really social. I never was a true social person because, you know, basically, like, in my nature, I was kind of a poet. And, you know, there's a hiding person there and a quiet person there. And, you know, but I was more social. But I think sometimes
right.
when you do this deep work, you do become much more of a lone person and a inward person, and you
exactly
and you come out
exactly.
and you share, but then you go in, and you come out and you
well,
share,
right,
but you go in.
Right. Once you learn going in, the gifts of going in, you're never
yeah.
going to completely give it up because
right.
there's no turning
yeah.
off that awareness. That's the awareness that there is tremendous benefits of going within.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like getting your sea legs on. I mean, I've been
right,
going in.
Right.
You know, for many, many years, and that's neither good nor bad. That's just
no,
the truth of my
well, you
journey.
You know what it is, too, I think, Goldie, is that once you go in, and you go in for so long, the beauty is that even when you go out, you're still in.
That's true. No, that's true. Because
right,
nothing
because,
can take my confidence that I get
no.
garnished from within from me, which was really the reason I essentially went in the first place, because I just didn't understand why the world was so harsh. I didn't. And I'm not saying that I didn't deserve harshness from a, hey, what you put in is what you get back. I was a punk. I was a punk. You know, my anvil was clearly dropping on a lot of toes because I didn't even understand how to utilize my own power. It's almost like I had power, but I was so just naive, ignorant, and wild as a kid. I just was all over the place. There was nothing refined about me. And the truth is I survived it all. I have not a single regret of anything I've ever been through. That is, whatever the presence that runs through my being now, more now than ever before in my life, was at least a trickle in the days, you know, when I was doing the drugs and getting my ass kicked from here to from here to St. Louis. I still always knew no regrets. I've not lived a regretful life. I've gone the other way. I've worried. I am, you know, the future is going to be messed up. I've had my feeling of regret is when you live in the past, and for whatever the reason, when I did live in the past, I didn't regret it. I was hiding in the past, and now, you know, now I don't hide. I don't worry about the future. I just feel so incredibly connected to everything. Like, it was interesting because, well, wait, before I go into that story, I want to read a quote because I think it's very appropriate to what you're experiencing. And I'll read the quote. This is from Barbara McRae on Facebook. In my humble opinion, she's just a brilliant presence. And she walks her talk. So, and she's a therapist. She reminds me a lot of you, Janine. And she literally came out of not doing interviews. She came out just to do an interview with me. Because me and her, she's adoring to me on Facebook. And vice versa. And I was very impressed because she's very professional and articulate, you know, and similar to you in the sense of the way you respond to me, you know, you're both women of a lot of presence and success in your life that I've never felt personally that I've had, you know, even though that is beginning to morph as well. I am understanding myself as successful, but as that morphs, it's because of my interaction and the response that you and Barbara McRae give me where, you know, you don't care about letters after my name. You don't care about, you know, whether, you know, my elbows are on the table when I'm eating or not. You just respond presence to presence. And and it's genuine and I can feel it. And I love it. It's a wonderful space for me to play in. So Barbara wrote today, she wrote this quote, she posted this quote. Think of letting go as learning to take part in the breath of life itself, something that is as natural to who you are as it is for the sun to shine.
Okay.
And I wrote the response, yes, the essence of life. I have experienced direct wisdom within the essence of life, simply extraordinary moments.
Hmm.
Because it's not the mind that gets that has these moments. It's essence to essence that has these moments.
Yeah.
And you know,
and the word
they
moment
can come when
too.
You're sleeping, and it's a moment. And I'll be honest with you, this is what I'm learning though. Moments when you're basically living all outside of your world, when everything that's going on is going on outside, your moments will be, you know, the split seconds of life. When you start going within and connect with the soul, soul is in a timeless dimension. Moments can last days and weeks, a single moment. And Janine, if I'm correct, you're in a moment right now.
I think I am.
Well, and I think it's important, you know, like the beauty of that is, now, of course, you're seeing from the third and fourth dimensional point of view, you know, the tasks in life that require left brain coordination and rationalization don't necessarily flow so easily in these moments. But of course, there's always a but because, God bless, Heinies are cute. But the right side and the imagination, which you are clearly a chief navigator in. Well, those qualities soar and open up and rip and tear in positive ways, meaning, you know, the potentials open up for you right now because in the moment, it's the grace of your essence that is really telling, you know, it tells you without verbalizing, I got this. Watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're good.
Yeah.
Watch. And I know you get
yeah.
it because you're on the show and, you know, having trouble, you know, maybe forming sentences and stuff.
No, it's really good because you're right. I mean, this morning, you know, it is a matter. Well, what it is it's a great practice in, you know, you feel, first of all, you decipher that, oh, I'm open here. It's safe. It's okay. Like, and then there's a real sense of trusting that you're fine in this place. I mean, but you know, there's all levels of opening and getting used to, and it's interesting because there were several tasks that, you know, just because of what you do, what I do, and I have things I need to get out to people, and so, you know, it requires, quote, tasks, you know, and I'm good at tasks because, you know, I just am. I mean, I've been doing it long enough, but I did notice this morning that I kind of woke up almost nervous knowing I had these tasks to do because maybe there's still a part of me that's getting comfortable with being more open and, you know, yet going, but you still have to do all these tasks. And I want to do them because I want to stay on top of what I do. And I've worked hard to bring these things out and manifest. So, you know, but it is, it's an interesting balance. And what I think is really fun, and here's a parallel for me and Goldie again, like if anyone heard Saturday's show, it was just, oh my God, it was just one, you know, parallel after another. But today, separately, Goldie and I both used the word meld, M-E-L-D. Mm. Now, I could tell you that I can't even, I do remember what I say in terms of words, and I can't remember the last time I used the word meld. I'm like, because when it came out of my mouth, I went, really, meld? You're using the word meld? That's pretty interesting. Like, where'd that come from? And then I'm on a conversation with Goldie like 2 to 3 hours later, and she says, yeah, well, it was such a, it was a meld. And I'm going, oh my God, she's using the word meld. And so, it's not a common word, but it was so interesting that we both used it today. And I'm telling you, if I maybe said the word meld 20 years ago, maybe. But so I just looked it up, and it's to merge or blend. And I think that, you know, to mix, to fuse, the cinnamon and I'm making
the cinnamon
right
and
now.
The peppermint.
No, I'm making cookies, everybody. Yeah. So to mix batter.
I love you, Vic.
Mix, use, combine, consolidate. But I just thought, you know, that's probably what I am doing. I'm blending. I have to perform tasks.
Or integrating. I didn't hear the
right.
word integrating, but it sounds exactly like that's what I got. I mean,
yes,
that's all we're doing is integrating.
Yes, integration after integration. So. No, so it was just so funny to use that same word that I can't tell you. First of all, I've never heard you say it, but I haven't said it in forever. So, you know, it's just all this funny stuff going on that I'm noticing, the very simple, the very small, and they're big. Someone just wrote.
Dennis.
Is that
the
Dennis?
Alchemy.
That's great. Because
yeah.
The truth is, let's see, was it Saturday? Or when was I having this incredible, I was going, oh, the archetype of the magician is the alchemist, where the place is neutral. And, you know, so it
yeah.
does, you know,
yeah.
all this is sort of probably on some level, this is the integration and where I'm being in the neutral place of the magician.
Okay, so stop saying probably.
Okay.
All this is on the level. There you go. Jump off that cliff.
Of being the magician, the alchemist, that neutral place where I would like to say that the the subtle occurs and it appears to be magic, but it's just this shift in perspective, you know, and yeah, so I'm thinking live on the radio that that's exactly what's happening.
Don't drop your towel. We might see.
That's exactly what's happening. So me and the cinnamon. So.
Oh, you're so beautiful, Janine. You're so beautiful.
Anyway, thank you.
No, because listen, I just want everybody to know. Mm-hmm. This show, literally the I don't want to call it the guts, but literally the foundation of the show is one of the main components of the foundation is authenticity. You know, we show up here exactly as we are, you know, tired, you know, unless we're physically not feeling well, you know, and we just want to sleep in bed, you know, okay, then we might cancel a show. But, you know, we can be, you know, come on, we've all had days where you're feeling spacey and, you know, you just can't connect a sentence. Because it's part of the process. It's definitely part of the process.
Yeah.
And anybody that's walking the process will confirm that. So, you know, when Janine told me, you know, she's like, wow, I'm feeling kind of like, I don't know if I can do this. And it's like, well, and you didn't say you didn't know if that was my words. You were just like, I don't know if I'm going to be on the top of my game. And it's like, okay, well, that's not the point of the show, to be on
right.
the top of our game.
Right.
The point of our show is, just like in life, you just show up, you own whatever is, and of course, Janine, what Janine brings to every situation, so brilliantly, she laughs. You know, because I'm telling you, if we can laugh at ourselves, we care a lot less when others are laughing at us. I mean, you really do. Because, you know, it. I'll tell you the perfect example of this. Oh boy! See, Scott chooses not to listen to my radio show. He maybe he should, because we're going to throw a little realism about Scott tonight. So Scott was in a car accident approximately 10 years ago, and basically went through the windshield of the car, and lost all his teeth, top and bottom. He wears dentures. It's a deep thing to go through. I mean, he's only 39 today. So he was 29, lost all his teeth.
What do you mean today?
Well, meaning in this year, he's 39, so 10 years ago.
Oh,
okay. No, January 13th.
Oh, okay.
So you're cute. So so last night, you know, we had the decompressing, communing, energizing session at Scott's house. Scott got his first massage. Because Scott's going through a lot of pain. His back is hurting him pretty bad. So a good friend of mine who was at my birthday party, a beautiful couple, Trisha and her boyfriend Billy. Trisha goes, you know, I'll hook Scott up. You know, we'll get him a massage. And I was doing some energy work with Billy, and we were having a great day. So after all that happened, we cooked dinner. We kind of all sat in the kitchen, and we were cooking. And, I mean, I swear it felt right out of a sitcom, like Friends. And I was so stoked to be living that. It was truly a dream come true. After we eat, we're cleaning up, we're all in the kitchen. Scott tells this joke. Oh, he was telling us about how his cat spits when if you're petting her too much, she'll like spit on you, I guess, as a way. She's never spit at me, but as a way to stop her or stop you from petting her. And when he said that, his upper dentures came loose. They didn't come flying out of his mouth. They came loose. And I'll be honest with you, when a situation like that happens, you can feel the tension in the air go zoop. I mean, Billy, her boyfriend, didn't even see it. He was petting the other cat. But Trisha stopped dead in her... She just stopped dead. Me, I cracked up because it was the funniest thing.
Right.
And, I mean, plus I was staring at Scott while Scott was speaking. I was looking straight in his eyes, so I knew it was happening. Scott was laughing, and I could feel Trisha just, her energy field collapsed. She was petrified to acknowledge.
Uh-huh.
And you can see that's a belief that, there's perfectionism going on there. Because I was like, that was awesome. In fact, when me and Scott joked about it later on in the night after they had left, he joked about it. His teeth went flying out of his mouth, landed under the bed. It was he couldn't find them. We were crying. I literally was laughing so hard I almost pissed my pants. He was on the floor cracking up because, my friends, those moments are meant to be enjoyed.
They
are not meant to be felt like a small being. Something. This is not about perfection.
No. That's true, like heart comic about human being human. I mean, it's the best laughs, the best comics I've ever seen are those who, like, you know, laugh at themselves, laugh at what other people go, ooh, and they're laughing, you know, it's just,
it makes life so much lighter. And listen, this is not just, you know, we laugh at each other all the time. You know, you ever be going down the step and you think the last one is the last one, but it's not the last one, and you kind of fall over yourself. I do that. For some reason, I don't have the rhythm of the steps down. And I fall at the bottom of them all the time. It's actually, things are dropping
as
we speak.
You know, I think it's so true to come on tonight. I mean, I'm fine, but the thing is, I know you are. The beauty is to, because I always think that speaking of the magician, that the best stuff happens when you least expect it. The best stuff happens when you're not on your game. It's just, it's a fact, you know, and that's when humility and laughter and, you know, just showing up and being sincere, it's like, what else do you need, you know? And I am at my best when I'm the silliest. I mean, because, you know, when I get into, like, a fun, happy, silly place that's almost more spacey than smart, it's fantastic. I mean,
it is right on. It is.
It is.
Because you start really having the experience of, you know, because when I shared that comment on Barbara's wall, you know, about the moments of wisdom flowing through me, it's not a linear experience. It's not my head reading, you know, an etheric book out of thin air. It's in a moment, the insight and the experience and the construct behind that experience in the subtle world, all of that is, I'm aware of all three of those, plus probably several other levels of awareness simultaneously. You know, it's just essentially the veils disappear in that looseness and that, you know, relaxed state. And it can happen at any time, but it almost always happens when the frequency is, you know, playful and relaxed and, you know, and again, listen, we are not here to promote, you know, you only feel good and, you know, when feeling bad, you force yourself to feel good. That is not the promotion here. You know, like if you're feeling bad, you go into your pain, you go into your fear, you face it, you ask it to sit down at the table and communicate with you. This is huge, huge steps. But there's level, because I'm finding the more I face my fears, it feels like what I'm doing is it's like pieces of clay that are filling up the holes. That my fear, facing my fears, is actually filling up the holes where I didn't feel whole. And what's happening is each time a body of mine, whether it's the physical body, the emotional body, the spiritual body, as each body gets filled up with these, you know, my holes are being patched, it's like my energy field goes zzz, and it expands out like another level, layer, another frequency. Uh-huh. And the clarity that is, you know, and then, of course, new clarity comes in at the new level. And then, you know, as well as, you know, any fears that had been dropped in this frequency of experience, everything just seems to start, you know, it's all coming back. It's all melding / integrating. And, you know, I've never been so, so confident of the present moment. You know, I can't tell you what's going to happen in the next moment, next week, next day, next year, none of that. And yet, for the life of me, I don't care. I'm not worried about the next moment. I'm not worried about anything. I'm just confident in my ability to be aware right here and right now, and sharing that with all of you. You know, along with, you know, Janine is doing the same. You know, it's just the practical ways to live this truth are what we're sharing. You know, it's
showing up is everything. You know, and it's funny because Penny Pierce, you know, you were just saying about the frequency, and I know that Penny Pierce talking about the frequency and me going to see my friend Patrick O'Neill, and in the first 5 minutes of what he was talking about, it was all called Vision of the Heart. But, you know, all he spoke about was the present moment. Penny Pierce, the present moment. I mean, it seems someone else I was just talking to, I can't remember, was talking about the present. And, you know, it was just like, wow, this is really showing up everywhere about the present moment, you know. And that's fun for me to hear because, in the state I'm in, it's just like, oh, wow, you know, all this is just validating, you know, that there's quote something going on, you know, and
there's definitely something going on.
There's some kind of melding going on here.
It's so funny too because the word meld always comes to me. You know, Spock used to mind meld his. You know, he could get to the heart of the matter. Well, see how funny I use the word heart of the matter through mind melding. Even though, you know, in my humble opinion, the melding going on is so much more than happening in my head, you know, my physical being. Because that was another thing I wanted to share tonight, just to talk about, you know, the honoring of being tired right now. You know, like, there's nothing in our culture that supports rest and resting well, you know, where you're seriously, you know, you're taking days at a time and just lying around and not exerting yourself terribly hard, you know, because the body inside is exerting itself tremendously right now. I mean, the shift that is taking place is changing our molecular structure, and the body can be, the reason why we wake up tired and we're extremely tired is because there's a lot of changes going on within. And I get it that, you know, the job doesn't really allow for us to say, you know, I'm not coming in today. My biological cells are morphing. I'm taking a butterfly day. but nonetheless, the truth of the matter is, from a priority point of view, your cells are changing to follow your soul's journey, and it really, you know, to be, you know, the anvil doesn't really give a shit about your job. You know, because and here's the interesting thing. I've never been so consciously out of work in my entire life. And I've never thought, if you told me I was going to go a year, which I'm closing in, I think the end of April will be a year that Wani quit her job, my nanny gig. If you would have told me I couldn't find another job in a year, I would have said, you're crazy. But that's my situation. You know, and now, you know, there's this psychic network that I'm connecting with, Psychic Moon. And, you know, I'll fill you in more on that. In fact, I won't bring that up now. I'll tell you that privately. I have other things changing because, you know, for 20 plus years I've been a nanny. And yet I wasn't connecting with people. I would find interviews. I'd go on interviews, and as we know from one of the shows we did, I wasn't finding right placement. It's like, you know, I used to know I would click. I would click with the family. I'd click with the kids, you know. Mm-hmm. I'd at the very least be given a shot. I mean, you know, I was surprised how many people did not hire me. You know, like, call me arrogant, but I was surprised they didn't hire me. But I just kept going, well, if you don't want me to nanny, well, what do you want me to do? You know, like, show me, you know, and, you know, kind of, it's interesting because, you know, you go into your imagination and you start playing with stuff because it's like, I mean, I get it. I'm spiritually aware. Clearly, in 2012, there's, you know, it's not like I don't have the blinders that horses wear on. I really do get it that, okay, in 2012, mass consciousness is looking for some spiritual answers. There is a new archetype is, so to speak, really showing up in 2012, and that would be, you know, the spiritual advisor. Uh-huh. There's clearly a need for that because the cellular changes that have been going on, they've been going on in the subtle world, you know, forever, but they've definitely been kicked into high gear since, you know, 2011 and 2012. Whatever is going on in our solar system, you know, it's really kicked up in the last couple of years, and this year being the whole end of the Mayan calendar, clearly has, you know, it's in the awareness of so many more millions of people, as is the awakening in the awareness of so many more millions and or billions of people, that I was pretty clear, okay, if I'm not going to nanny, well, what do you want me to do spiritually? I didn't know. And then my good friend who I haven't talked to, you know, my good friend who I haven't talked to in a year, you kind of like the way I present these things. But she is a good friend, and I haven't talked to her in a year. Started this intuitive network where, you know, people call in. You know, it's an 800 number. You pay per minute. And I was like, oh, you know, it clicked to me immediately. I know when something, you know, is supposed to be. As soon as I read the email and saw the site, I called her up and went, hey, I'm interested. And I found out today when we were talking, she told her boyfriend, you know, and they were both like, wow, Goldie's going to work for us on this network? You know, they were like very surprised because I think yeah. often my anvil ways come across as very arrogant. You know, let's be blunt. It comes across as arrogant. But I also sense, and Jules told me this straight up. She was like, listen, I would love to have your energy be a part of this project because yeah. you bring it. You know, you bring it authentically. It's just you being you, doing what you do, playing how you play. You bring it. And I went, Jules, I am honored that you get that because I do bring it, and I am particular to who I bring it to. I literally am conscious of my presence because, you know, if I'm not feeling you, and then you don't get my presence. I'm not going to support your endeavors. I'm not going to bash them, but I'm not going to support them. And, you know, I was really stoked when, you know, like, well, damn, like she sees it and expressed it back to me. That felt so much more as right placement than, you know, the nanny who's telling me, put your arm against the wall, the baby might jump out of your arms. You know? I wasn't really feeling that. And for you guys who are just new to the show, I had a nanny gig where the mom was first-time mom, and she was hyper-vigilant, paranoid. And I had the job for 2 weeks and quit because it was just, her fear was just, it was off the hook. And clearly yeah. my presence wasn't making her feel more relaxed. And so I could not live in her fear. And I went, and she was going to be working from home. So I went, I'm out of here. Bye, everybody. and again, I quit the job, even though I had not had work in a while. Just having faith and trust that, you know, whatever's supposed to find me will. And
that's right. Right.
You know, I really believe that if you follow the laws of what you know from a spiritual level, you know, when, you know, trusting infinite trust, God bless, does infinite trust work? And it works from the inside out, because I get it. People will look at you when you're infinitely trusting and go, you're crazy, you're off your rocker.
You're lazy. No, you know,
you're Penny, lazy. Even though I, yeah, right.
Penny Pierce really brought this up, and I loved her interview with you. I think it was not last week, but the week before. It was on a Wednesday. It was in another reality show. But honestly, that was that's such a good. She said so much that that validated what you're talking about now. What I'm feeling, you know, just about like stepping out of the old paradigm of how, you know, we thought it was supposed to go or be, or how, you know, you got the job and Yeah, it is another rhythm of being, and you know, and saying no to something that other people will go, what? And then because it just doesn't resonate. It's not right placement, and it is divine trust. And you know, that's, I've been going on that now for quite a while, and it's but I'll tell you what happens is, and I bring this up to you because I love to ask you questions about what you think, that when you stay vigilant to this place, that there is like a tipping point where you do start to just, you start to live in a trust place, even almost, you know, instinctively, or you make better decisions instinctively, or you don't second guess yourself, you know, as long, or maybe just for a split second, or not at all. So there does, for me, I have noticed, you know, I've been talking about that tipping point where it seems as
you
though, yeah, that there's a place where you do this long enough and you stay with this long enough, and it just the present starts to feel different. It just starts to, you start seeing, I don't know, I mean, it's almost unexplainable, except that, you know, I think that's what it does occur. And, you know, Dennis brought up DNA, I see in the chat room, about it being rewritten. And perhaps the tipping point involves a certain, you know, it's your essence, it's your DNA, it's, you know, I don't know, it's a lot of things. But there's,
right,
you know, you're...
But it's significant,
yeah,
when you're in, because the truth is...
But you feel it, you feel
oh,
it.
Oh, that's, the ultimate is where I know it. It is, it's an actual... It's a sensation,
yeah,
of experience. You experience the sensation of trust, and it feels as if it's a presence in the room. Trust is a presence that enters a room. That's,
yeah,
how I,
and then,
because,
and then I, you know, this thing about almost like you turn a corner where your instincts or your intuition, they just seem almost more like a faucet that's running in more of a stream, and you know, than the drip, 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 or you know,
you expect the change, you expect the fluidity. It's part,
yeah,
of it, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and your decision making is more intuitive and present moment rather than a worry moment. And you know, and we've both been experiencing that in the last year. I know where,
mm-hmm,
you know, one thing,
mm-hmm,
doesn't work out, and you go, okay. And, you know, I've always said to you, God, rejection is such a great teacher. And it is. Because,
yes, it is.
Because I look back now and go, thank God none of that stuff worked out. You know. And, you know,
yes. Yeah.
And here I am. And, you know, you're like, wow. You know, would I have been this open cup or this open blue bowl if I hadn't, you know, if those things that I thought I wanted to happen happened? I don't think so. So it's a, you know, it's great. And
well, yeah, and it's also, you know, and it's not even just about, because I'm just going to say what you said in the affirming. It's not being grateful what didn't happen. It's being grateful that what did happen. In other words, the rejection did happen. I am grateful that certain areas that I have pursued during my 15-year, 17-year,
uh-huh,
tenure of finding self, I am grateful that certain things that I pursued rejected me. I'm grateful,
yeah,
today,
yeah,
for that. You,
yeah,
know, because, you know, and would I be where I was? Well, because I look at it as, well, I just don't question that. It's like, in other words, I really get it. It's like, well, I've had this kind of filament, membrane, I don't know what you're going to call it, but it does seem to be within my energetic bubble, I'm creating my life and my life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And on some level, I have always been, I mean, you know, because I can go into the space of, you know, I sold drugs for 12 years, and cops knew I sold drugs and chose not to arrest me. Not only chose not to arrest me, chose to protect me at times when other cops, like DEA cops, were around. You know, and I look at that and go, well, how is that? Jesus, how is that? And then, but I'll be honest with you, how is that? Because it was this protective filament of awareness that has always been a part of my experience, which, you know, see, that's, I think it's something that has to be experienced. And, you know, maybe, you know, if somebody wants to call in and share this, have you ever known you were doing something that maybe the rest of the world would have called you crazy, but you just knew that when you were doing it, it's not that you were protected by an outside source. You just knew it was your mission or your passion or your space to do it. You know, because I can remember when my family going, are you crazy, you know, dealing drugs? You've got to stop. And I was like, this is not your life. It's mine. And I don't got to stop anything. And if you don't like my choices, you don't have. And here's the funny part. Here, listen to the rest of the answer. If you don't like my choices, perhaps you want to get off my couch and stop snorting my coke.
Because
no lie,
story.
they were screaming at me that I was doing the wrong as they were sitting on my couch snorting the coke I was selling. I mean, come on, people. There's something, you know. So let's. but the truth is, because I didn't. I was talking with Dennis today. Or no, I was talking. Well, no, Dennis. Somebody I was talking to about quitting smoking. Oh no, Jules.
Okay.
I was talking to Jules about. One of the things I notice about smokers, because Billy, Billy and Trisha both smoke cigarettes. And I noticed that when they came in from smoking, I can't smell the cigarettes on them. Now, we do ask them to go outside because we don't smoke, me or Scott, but I have been around people who smoke cigarettes where it's almost like you can sense it coming out of their pores.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have that smell. And I was talking, I was like, because I remember people used to say to me all the time, you smoke? And it's like, yeah. And they could, you know, so I'm finding that interesting. Hey, we have a caller. Let's grab the caller.
Okay.
Yeah. Somebody wants to share. We can just make them unmute. Come on, Blog Talk Radio. There you go. Okay, area code 860, you're on the air.
Hi, Goldie. This is Susan.
Hi. Hey, Susan!
How are you? Hey, Janine.
Hi there. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good.
I think
I'm
listening to the right show. I don't know. My computer is so messed up.
Okay.
And I called in, and then all of a sudden you were talking about a completely different topic. So I don't know what you're talking about, but did you just ask?
Oh, you're so cute.
Did you just
babe,
ask?
Babe, we're all in our misconfusion. We are actually talking about being in our confusion. So you're right. You're right in the right place.
Okay. Oh, no. So you didn't ask for an example of, or did you ask for an example of when everybody else thought you were crazy, but you
yes.
knew you had to do something?
Oh, absolutely. I
okay,
asked. Okay,
yeah,
yes.
I'm in the right
yes.
timeline.
Yay!
Yay!
Yay! Yes, right on. Okay.
Well, I have a really good experience.
Okay.
But it was from years ago.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. I was a single parent, and I had six children. And the oldest was 10, and the youngest was a newborn. And I was broke. And I lived in Georgia, and everybody I knew was in Connecticut. And I knew I had to get up there. But I really had no money, you know, to do it. But I loaded up the kids anyway in the car, and I'm traveling the 1,100 miles with basically no money. And I had like $43 left in my wallet. And I'm driving down the Jersey Turnpike.
Okay.
And
that's Janine.
and money was just flying all over the side of the road. Money just spilled everywhere. And so I pulled over the side of the road and I picked it all up, and it was like over $400.
What?
My gosh.
But the story continues to
I love
to where
it.
I found the wallet that went with it, and I called the people, you know, and told them I found all their money. But But of course, they gave me a reward,
right?
You know, or a thank you gift or whatever for returning it, the money. And I made it to my destination.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's such integrity, Susan. That's, I mean, what I'm really, I love your trust in integrity. Because, I mean, to be handed money in the state of being that you were in and give it back can only mean you trust it. You know what I mean? Cause,
because
if you didn't trust, you wouldn't have done it. And nobody would have blamed you. Everybody, you know, that's a 50-50 split as far as I'm concerned. I
but,
think
but
a,
even,
a, go
but
ahead,
even to get in the car with a newborn and six children under 10 years old with $43 and drive 1,000 miles, just to do that alone is such an act of trust that somehow you'd be fine and make it. And then you, and then literally money's blowing in the air. That is the most random, unbelievable. And then you contact the people, which is another amazing part of the story, and then they give you a gift. But it, you know, that's amazing. And
that's
powerful
magic. I'm telling you, that's just, there's a magic.
That is,
you wonder,
that is,
you get the
magic.
Membrane, right? Did you feel a membrane, for lack of a better word, I just don't know a better word, that you just knew you were going to be okay?
Well, you know what, it was such a process because I had been through so much
right
before that happened. That it was the constant little things that built up my trust.
Wow.
Which is exactly where they come from, though. That's a great observation.
Right.
That's where all trust comes from, is in the little things.
Yep.
I believe that anyways.
Well,
it gives us the
like
sea legs to... Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
It's the whole... To me, it was the whole concept of if you're faithful in little things, then the big things are a piece of cake.
Right.
You know, in any sense,
exactly.
if you're going to be honest in the little things, if you're going to be thoughtful in the little things, if you're going to be kind in the little things, whatever, the big things take care of themselves. And that was the mode I was in. So
that's extraordinary. Thank you.
It is
that's
extraordinary.
It is extraordinary.
It is. And I think that... those huge things happen, but you have to remember them, you know, because you get so caught up in the in the daily life, you know, life.
Yeah, of course, but, you know, your story is the kind of story that I or someone else or Goldie or anyone would tell as an example of a person faced, you know, with so much, you know, responsibility, and yet, and you made a decision that, you know, instead of collapsing and you just made a move, and it's just one of those stories that you tell to inspire other people to trust something. And, you know, that's, you know, it's like you read it, it's like I just read it in a book or something, and you're like, oh my God, can you believe that? But it was you, and it's so incredible to know you.
I didn't,
you know?
And the story, I agree, to me is magnificent. However, when I was going through it, it's not like I felt magnificent.
No, but the example of
Wait a minute, Jean. Okay, listen. Was it your mind that was, because, you know, did you hear the show on Saturday? I'm just curious because I can repeat a story or not.
Penny?
The chicken story. Penny was on Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, I didn't know you had a,
Yeah, we did a spontaneous show on Saturday.
I don't remember.
No worries. There was just a quick story of, I was craving chicken, going towards, just heading in the direction towards Wednesday. Okay, so you heard. And then my body, I was like, oh, KFC. And my body went, don't go to KFC.
Right.
I mean, there was no, now my body said, don't go. My head was going, what are you doing? You're not going to drive, you know, another 3/10 or whatever, another mile to get to Wendy's. Just pull in. It's right here. And I think it's really important to know that your head might argue with you from here to St. Louis about choices that you're making, but you'll be surprised how much your body is very much in support of the choices we are making.
Yeah.
Because my body completely supported me. I've been setting all these intentions, and I'm so getting the clarity of, I don't care what my head thinks, but I'm not trying to shut my head down. I'm not trying to, you know, conquer it and kick its ass and get it out of my way. I'm just simply the head's not in charge. You don't make my decisions for me.
Yeah.
The body does. And, well, meaning, oh, the head will make my decision. You know, we made the decision. We're going to go get chicken. Okay, let's go. That was my head's decision. But as soon as the body went, no, you're not. You're going to go do this. It's like, okay, and on a dime, I will flip on a dime.
Yeah.
Because I'm learning that the body has an intelligence all its own. It knows stuff. It is mm-hmm. connected to things. You know, it has the wisdom, I believe, of the A, multidimensional being, and B, what I would consider almost my future self. It
yeah,
is somehow connected to a future self. So when you say that you weren't feeling all that magnificent, you know, I would ask you to, you know, if, like, sit with that for a moment and go, was your body not feeling magnificent, or were your thoughts not magnificent?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because
right.
It's a subtle realm that I bet you your body was loving it.
But I think there's so much more at work than we ever realized. Like, remember after September 11th where all these stories came out where people ended up not getting on the plane or not going to
right.
work or whatever?
Right. Yes.
There's something at work. That
yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Because
right on.
I think that you can hone your senses or your intuition or your being in alignment and go that way. And then there's something else. That something
oh.
else that pushes you along or events come or there's some magic there that I don't know what a
yeah.
name
okay.
of it is.
Right on. Right on.
Yeah.
So, you know, what made somebody's wallet come off their car hood and spew money for me?
You gotta like when you gotta ask that question, Susan. I mean, you gotta like a life that presents that question to you. There's just no way around.
There's magic. There's more.
There's definitely magic. I love it. Yes. Yes.
Well, you know, last weekend when I was in Toronto and I was doing this weekend with Patrick O'Neill, he told a great story about. He and Angela Sarian, they teach together in like a place where you can go and be for 5 days or 12 days, depending on, you know, the training you're doing. But he told this story about, how a group of strangers come together to do the work. And then that's the perfect, the people that show up are the perfect people who show up. And no one, and you know, if you were to say, oh, I wonder why so and so didn't come, and they go, no, who showed up is the exact medicine we all need. And so he told this great story about 1 year they came together, a group of strangers, to do the work with Patrick and Angeles, and a woman, you know, was talking in a small group with another woman, just. They were probably processing or something. And she spoke of a time in her life when she had given up a child for adoption.
Oh,
and,
my God.
Yep. And this other woman and the other woman just said, but think of how beautiful that is because, you know, just similar to me, like I'm an example of someone who got to adopt a child. Well, it turned out crazy that this woman adopted her child. And it
wow.
was years later,
yeah.
random, total random, but beautiful, magical, divine, you know, the wallet in the air, the money flying out. I mean,
yeah.
it's true. It's like, who can predict that? But, you know, these are the this is the amazing. That's
these
not
are
amazing,
the days
guess,
of
but,
our lives. Yeah,
but you know, it's just you know, and those stories are so many, you know, and
absolutely. And in my humble opinion, guys, they're not random. They're only appearing as random, but they're not random.
So a year ago, I'm doing.
Did I beat you to the punchline?
No, but I was just saying a year ago, I'm doing a book signing, and a little girl says a lady fell on the floor, and next thing you know, I'm in an alternate universe going, am I really doing this? But I was resuscitating a 40-year-old woman, and, you know, I just came to do a book signing with Santa Claus, and I'm like, this is just wild, but, you know, my body told me what to do. I didn't. The next thing you know, I was resuscitating someone who shouldn't have had a heart attack. So, you know, it was just extraordinary. I was part of an extraordinary experience that to this day I still go, did that really happen? And it did.
Mm-hmm.
Because she turned out beyond all medical prediction, she should not have made it. Because she was gone that long, but she made it with no damage. It's just
incredible. And I come in when I say, when we see this, we have to broaden our perspectives of everything.
Yes.
I mean, isn't that what life is telling us, that there's so much to it? And listen, the truth that's being revealed on so many levels right now, you know, no matter what the genre, whether it's the truth in politics or the truth in banking or the, you know, the truth in religion, the fact that these truths that are coming out, which are, you know, in my humble opinion, these are pretty radical truths. I mean, you know, for the average bear that's just kind of walking down the street to know that, you know, that there is a, you know, alien agenda conspiring against all of humanity. That, okay, what? You know, like, and that's real. That's not Stargate US-1, whatever, you know, the movie, the show. That's our real life. These are the kind of, if those kind of truths can be awakening, even us who have been spiritually aware, well, we're also going to awaken to truths that are just, you know, truly unfathomable to us. I just think, For those who have been on the journey, it's not going to jilt us into, you know, like almost, I think at some point if you pulled somebody's veil, so to speak, off their body too quickly, it would actually be jarring to them to know. And I speak for, this is not, for myself, if the entire veil just came off, you know, in one split second, that could easily drive a person mad, including myself.
Right.
You know, I've just had the, for me, I've been attracted to know what is the truth. My whole life I've wanted, because there's always been in my body a feeling that I didn't have all the truth. Like, I could feel things and nobody was kind of, you know, explaining them, or I just was feeling things, and because most of the things I felt made me feel like crap, it was just my own, you know, my own saving grace to go, well, then learn about it, because nobody else is telling you about it. So, you know, okay, so what's an empath? And, you know, so for me, as our truths open up, like, I mean, the story is so miraculous, Susan, that the money is flying out.
It is.
I mean, that
you know,
that's
what's
like,
even what's even more miraculous to me is that is one story. But there are so many things that didn't happen that could have happened. And
right, okay, right on.
We don't have a story
you.
With them. That makes everything even more miraculous. The things that didn't happen but could have, and we have no story to tell.
Right. that's the polar opposite
bigger.
Coming from behind. No, that's very true. Like, because there is no control over the miraculous. We all try to harness it, and the truth is none of us can. There is... But there is, on some level, there's, the famous saying from the lottery, in order to win it, you got to be in it. And I'm the type of person, I'll jump off some ledges, you know, hoping my wings show up.
Yeah.
But that's not to tell you, I have not landed flat on my face and, you know, scuffed my knees up pretty good, you know, in the times when my wings didn't show up. You know, I just... You know,
but,
you know.
But then again, it doesn't matter what it looks like.
That's true.
It,
that's
you
true.
Know, because you don't, what we don't know.
Well, because what, right. No, indeed, because just because we don't know it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. That's one of the truths I've come to. I don't have to necessarily know everything in order to pull it into my experience. You know, I'm often playing in the unknown, I mean, in everything. I think that's kind of what the handshake of trust is. You're handshaking with the unknown, going, okay, I'm with you.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't have a clue what you are, but I'm partnering with you. Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's it. You don't know, but you're there.
But you're still relying on it on some level. You know, in other words, I'm still relying on that all is taking care of me, even though, you know, I don't have a job. And you know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, things start showing up. Because I do believe that I also understand. See, money is an interesting topic to talk about from, quote-unquote, the miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my humble opinion, people that are just trying to, the miracles are always about, why didn't I get the money? Why didn't I get something, something material, stuff? I don't believe the energy in this time that we're living in right now, you know, March 5th, 2012, I believe it will show up as money at certain miraculous occasions, but it really has nothing to do with money. Money is a side effect, so to speak, of miracles, but I think it has everything to do with soul.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like I'm kind of getting tedious here, but I'm not. I mean, there's such a difference between focusing on the miraculous to make your story bigger and focusing on the miraculous to remove the story of ego and live the story of soul. You know, that is, and I know all three of us, we are on the path of following the story of soul, because that's what this time is really, you know, what they call Gabriel's trumpet. You know, it's calling in our souls to the physical experience. It's not calling in, you know, bigger houses, more property, you know, a new banking system, you know, to go off. And it's not that we can't enjoy those things, but we can't enjoy those things at the cost of not experiencing what our soul wants. The miracle is, if we align ourselves with our souls, we are taken care of. If not, we're taken care of doing the ego work, we're taken care of doing the soul's work, and whatever that is. And it can be anything. You know, it's not like there's nothing pigeonholed that's not soulful. And that goes to, you know, sweeping the floors, being a CEO. It's not that you can't be successful, and it's not that you can't be homeless. The soul, you'll know when you're doing the soul work, because what we were saying when we first started the conversation, there's a presence in what you're doing. In other words, it's almost, this is Eckhart Tolle's way of saying it. The being becomes the priority. The doing becomes secondary. Mm-hmm. It's the being that is. That's why if Janine's tired, I'm always encouraging her, well, listen to your body. I'm encouraging that to anybody. You know, we're, don't worry about the doing. Put the doing on hold. And in our culture, it's quite the opposite. The being gets no recognition, and it's all about the doing.
Yeah.
And that. True. Yeah. So. You know.
Yeah.
I like to share that, because I think it's an important distinction to make when we're talking, especially when, you know, like I, you're right. Money coming out of the air. I wouldn't rely on that every day.
Yeah, that's amazing,
From a soul point of view, saying, listen, I need to get my family back up into Connecticut where I have some support, come hell or high water, I'm going. The soul goes, here, I'm going to throw you a couple of hundred or whatever, you know, to put gas in your car to get you there. You know, it's, I can see that
in
easily.
In New Jersey.
You're in Janine's part of the woods.
That crazy turnpike, my gosh.
Oh, I know.
Indeed, we've all traveled it. Yes, we have.
Yeah.
So, wow, that was hot, babe. I love that you called in. I mean, how you doing? You doing all right?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm going through my own little journey of the soul here with exploring. I don't even know how to say it. Exploring a path I never thought I would have chosen for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with this whole illness thing.
Right.
Well,
it's a pebble in your pond, girl. It's just a pebble in your pond.
Oh, you know what? It's not. It's not fear, and it's not. It's just different. Like a lot of times, I know, you know, you've mentioned your bump and your lump and
right.
your what is it telling you, and I'm having a different exploration of
okay.
a different vantage point where I've talked and I've listened and there's just different. I can't even explain it. I don't think that wellness. Let me see. I think a lot of times people think if you're on the path and if you know how powerful you are and that illness would not be a part of your path, that you're doing something wrong if
I hear you.
Illness shows up on your doorstep.
Yeah, that's a bunch of bullshit, by the way.
Oh,
yeah.
That is bullshit.
That is.
Yes, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Health is not the indicator, just like money and finances are not the indicator.
Exactly.
That is not the indicator whether a soul is in somebody's life. Absolutely not.
Right.
Okay.
Right, or that you're exactly on your path. That's all, you know, that's, yeah, it's not
you're
like,
on
oh,
your
no,
soul's
you're,
path, too,
right,
a soulful
right.
path. Yes.
I'm out of the woods, and I'm well, and I am not worried about a thing. You know, things have slowed down for me a little bit, and today I got the all clear with the cancer thing, and
good.
So I'm really...
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. However, the experience of things, I'm still looking at what the heck happened. And where
oh, what
did
the hell? Come on, swear for me, Susan. What the hell happened?
What the hell happened?
There you go. You're allowed to be a little pissed off by the whole experience, you know. You are allowed to express
no,
that.
No, you know what? Wasn't angry. My biggest thing that I'm dealing with was that I lost days. There's a week where I walked around and I talked and I made decisions and stuff that I have no memory of.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
it's like,
okay.
where did I go? Who was using my body? Who was doing the talking?
Wow, right on. Those are deep questions. I like them.
Yeah.
I like them. Yeah,
and,
of course.
And
it's exploring self. I love
and
it.
And they're big ones, and they're...
game changers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I made that, you know, I was given that choice before the heart attack to go or stay, and I chose to stay, and it's like...
Yay.
Oh, okay, what is all that about? You know, what is happening? What am I growing into? What am I gaining?
Mm.
And it's pretty exciting. I know we've all made the choice to be here, but in this dimension at this time in these bodies, I know I made that choice to come here, but recently having made the choice to stay here is different.
Mm.
Yeah, Yeah.
It's just different.
Right on. It's
a really
walking
good
a
distinction.
Path. You're very conscious that you did it consciously, too. That's a real, you know, you chose to, everything you're going through now, you have the memory anyways of being, well, I chose this. I chose to be here anyways. Even if you didn't choose the experience, you chose to be here. So, you know, it's a wonderful.
I use the word distinction. It's a really good distinction.
It's a distinction. Right on. Okay, there you go.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's placing power right back at you. You know, the power of choosing to be here.
Yeah, and it's like no matter what happens, if a meteor fell on my house right now, I would have known this is what I chose.
Yeah.
I chose to go through this. It's all okay.
Such clarity.
It's all okay. So it's pretty cool, but it's also got its own little set of foibles to play with.
Yeah. Good words. Exactly. It can be a pain in the ass being conscious, can it?
Oh yeah.
I know. I mean, you know, that it's such a paradox because. You know, is it challenging? Hell yeah. It is challenging. But is it rewarding? Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's both. And I'm so, first of all, I'm so delighted. I mean, because you are very much a part of my life, and I'm really delighted that you stayed. Well. I mean, I'm delighted that you're sharing on the show, because this is truly what the show is geared for. The people who have had to make, you know, really deep life-affirming decisions, and recognizing that we're not looking for the perfection of this. That's not why we didn't make the choice to live, you know, so everything could be perfect. We made the choice to live because we are choosing to experience everything. Yeah. Everything.
I do, like Janine's always talking about the small things, the subtle things, and to notice those things. And I think those are the things that really carry you through when the rubber hits the road or whatever that saying is. When I was in driving home from rehab today and had big questions that I was asking the universe and wanting answers for, and as I'm driving, this beautiful hawk comes right in front of the car. And then right after I notice the hawk, a car drives by and the license plate is 111. And it's like, well, how perfect is this? It's like I didn't get my answers yet, you know, my asking, but it was like.
No, there's no wrong question. Never feel the question is wrong. That doesn't
matter. I don't think I asked a wrong question. I just know that was the. To me, that was the message from the universe saying, your answer's coming. You know,
the answer's coming.
And that was
and the answer right now was hawks and ones. I mean, see, that's what I mean by it's the moment. Because, and also, feel free to put the questions out over the air. There is a potency that we all know. Say it on the radio, and there is an intensity in its response. So I'm just I'm putting that out to you. But that's what I mean by living in the moment, because the hawks and the ones might not have been, quote-unquote, the answer to the question, but isn't it clearly the question's been heard?
Oh, yeah.
You know, whatever it is, yeah, there was a response from life. Life responded.
And this is instantly.
This is the director's, that's the director, there you go, that's the director's perspective. You know, it's like, because I'm learning from my own experience. I am going from the character's analyzation and analysis to the director's analysis, and then inevitably I'll be at the producer's, because this is what's happening as I'm filling up the holes in my energy bodies. Each awareness level takes me out, you know, another notch or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because because the answer itself that it came is the answer that it's been heard, it's been acknowledged. You're in. Your questions are in.
Yeah. Well, see, to me, the hawk coming in at that moment and the three ones is a language in itself, and
right,
that is language in the archetype or the moment. That's like present affirmation. So the answer probably is like already inside you, floating, and but there, that was the answer in a way. It's just a language that is spoken beyond, you know, give me the answer to this question. It showed up, but you know, it's just for us to go, okay, and be okay with it, because that was such an affirmation of like, that's the answer. And
yeah,
it's like, so it's another, you know, for me, like, you just telling me that was more money flying in the air on the highway.
Yeah,
I'm like, what is going? I mean, you just, they're all happening around you all your life. And what I'm noticing, by like consciously talking on the radio, being showing up, letting everything sort of ride, is that it is in the present moment that there's these surprises that keep occurring, whether it's you calling in, Susan, or Golden Hawk saying, you want to do a show on Saturday, and she tells the dream, and then Doris calls from St. Louis that confirms all the synchronicities going on. And I'm constantly going, can you believe this? This is these surprises that are happening are wonderful.
Yeah.
And they're because we're in the moment, we're letting it happen, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, for me, I'm thinking, you know, one day I was writing, signing a book to send to Simon in Norway. And I was just sitting at the window, and the whole time I was writing to him and getting the package ready, this small hawk was just sitting in the tree, literally like looking at through the window. And when I went to go to the post office, it was like, he was like, okay, I can leave now. It was just this affirmation that the act that I was doing was some kind of soulful act, it's just another kind of language. That's how I see it. It's a language.
Well, and the hawk from you know, medicine is the messenger. The hawk is the messenger.
Yeah.
So,
just
from a general point of view, the messenger has arrived. You know, that's like, you know, it's not a bad spin.
Yeah, and then following it is the triple one, and, you know, I mean, whatever that, you know, it's just, to me, that's a language that we're coming into, or we actually
I agree. Oneness
solidarity
of, you know, and it's the Trinity, you know, the Trinity. Anytime anything happens in threes, they say, is a very significant occurrence.
It's wonderful, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like reading the tea leaves in a way, you know, it's like, it's just another
kind
of language.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
you know, I'm real comfortable with nature and with synchronicity, with numbers and impersonal things. It's the people stuff. it's the people stuff that it's a little more sticky for me, and I'm really beginning to see that change now too. And it hit me in a big way just at the grocery store the other day. There was a lady there with a little baby who had been crying and throughout the whole store. And she and I left the store at the same time, and so I offered to put her cart back in the her cart back in the corral, Janine.
Oh,
you picked up on that too, Susan.
I just thought
that was good.
That.
So, okay, you read my mind, Susan.
So, That was funny. I didn't think of that when it happened. But here I am trying to push two carts and get them into the corral, and somebody comes running up to me to help me.
Oh,
and I was thinking, you know, here I was trying to help somebody else, and somebody instantly comes to help me. And I thought, what a wonderful, I hate the word lesson, but what a wonderful
experience
or exhibition of how the universe works in the giving and the receiving. And it happened instantly.
Yeah, it's like a domino. You know, what you help, then someone helps you.
Exactly,
and, you know,
and it was instantaneous. And so to me, that was really some sweet part of the universe.
Susan, I want to ask you a question, babe.
Yeah.
And this is just something that we spoke about on the show on Saturday, and I'm just curious. In general, when you go somewhere, are you generally early, on time, or late?
I'm usually a few minutes early.
Okay, because you didn't hear Saturday shows. Or did you hear Saturday show? I'm not sure if you heard
Saturday
show.
I didn't know that was Saturday.
Okay.
Yes. Which is fine. You don't have to know the date. But remember when I was talking about that, you know, there's an integrity in how we are within the universe, is how the universe. I mean, I'm sorry, but I've got to bring to your awareness, because this is what I do. Every story you've told, it's been instantaneous. You know, in other words, it's right there. There's no, the lessons aren't coming, you know, it's not a little too little or a little too late. You're not finding empty wallets. You're finding money floating around the sky. And you're finding the because, you know, I just want to bring to your awareness, look for it to be instantaneous, because you've earned that in the way you've respected the universe in your own timeline by showing a few minutes early is, that's the grace. The grace to know that you always walk in on time. That's what I do. I'll go to nanny gigs and I'll purposely leave an hour early for a 40 minute ride, and sit down the street, find a house, turn around, sit down the street for like another 15 minutes, and then show up on time. Because that's our integrity. That absolutely correlates with with whatever the magic is, whatever we're calling it, synchronicities, gifts.
Respect.
Treasures, awarenesses, respect, whatever you want to call it. In my humble opinion, I mean, I asked you, how do you normally show up in life? And when you tell me early, it doesn't surprise me that your gifts are also showing up, you know, right on time.
Right.
On time.
Point, Goldie.
Thanks, babe.
Yeah, I think I just need to work on trusting that. Like I said, I trust it with animals and numbers.
Okay.
I have to trust it with, I guess, with people.
Yeah.
I think
that's a good knowing. I like that. That's a good identifying, you know, because like Goldie said, you know, when you can voice it, when you can get real specific and you can voice it, it's even talk about effectiveness instantly. That's a very good tool to be effective and get your answers
have awareness of it.
And it's really even more wonderful to voice it over the air like that, because
absolutely
it's
because
like
it's going to create the situations
just,
for you to have that
awareness.
Yeah,
well, it just bullseyed it. You know, you bullseyed it, which is great, and I love that. You know, so
well. I will look for it.
You're already doing it. With two people that care about you so much and enjoy your company and appreciate all the times that you connect with me, and I know Goldie. But it's like, so here we're people. We're the people.
We're the people.
And I'm so glad you had a positive grocery cart experience, because
a positive what?
I tell a great story about my grocery cart, like that I got in trouble for not putting it in the right spot, but then
it was a great
lesson, and it's a good story, and it's all a good story about mirroring and looking at yourself. But you know, it's just funny that you had a grocery cart story. And
it's funny you said that about mirroring. One of the things I've been thinking about lately is the concept that there's always a mirror. There's you and there's a reflection, or there's something in a reflection. Don't you think it's more of a, like you used the word, trinity than that? I was feeling like...
Yes. I would say it's more multidimensional than just two. Definitely.
Because a lot of times it seems like you would say, well, how did I bring that? How is that a reflection of me?
Okay.
And I think a lot of times it isn't. I think maybe you're... the third thing, you're the catalyst, or you're the observer of something. I don't always...
Look at you, authentic thing. Well, you just keep following your journey and come with us when you get insights.
This is good stuff.
Yeah, that's something I wouldn't think that way, but as soon as you say it, there's a presence in what you just said, that it's like, whoa, that's a new understanding of dimensional beingness. And, that's a welcome perception here, even though I realize you might not be able to share beyond a certain point. Stay with it, you know.
No,
I think
you said there's something else, and then and now you're talking about this third presence and I think that's... you're onto something about that something else that you didn't think you could describe, but I think you're onto something.
That's your soul's expression. You're learning about you. Look, you want to learn the answers. Go within you to find those answers of being this being that has beyond the magic. Don't necessarily look in the world. Look within.
Right.
Because it's your essence that you're trying to share right now.
Right.
But you're following something within yourself of an understanding, and it's there. Because I felt it too when you said that about that third. When I triggered something about the mirror, and then you said it's not the two, it's the third, and somehow that's me. Whatever that is, that's really, I felt it too. Like, ooh, what's that? You know.
Nice.
So stay with that. You know, let it just. You know, it's probably got something to do with when you were thinking, and then the hawk shows up, and then the three, and it's
want to bet it's who showed up when you don't remember who was talking for you.
Right, and then just this whole instantaneous, you get it, occurs. So, like, you know, whatever that is, I'd say you're on to something. And
I agree wholeheartedly.
And I like to know more, too, when you
Yes,
we'd love to hear from you, definitely. I love this. I love exploration of consciousness. I mean, it just, there's nothing more that stokes my passion than exploration of consciousness.
I noticed that.
Yeah, you did. I appreciate you noticing.
I love you both, and I am going to let you continue on your merry way, and I'm going to keep listening.
Right on, baby.
Love, love, love your shows. Thank you.
Oh, I love
you,
Susan.
So
thank
much.
You for calling. You're exquisite, babe. You are exquisite.
Good night. A wonderful surprise.
Yes. Thank you, Susan. Good night.
Good night.
Just amazing. These are the gifts, Janine. These are the days of our lives. But wow, I love that she's on to something. I mean, this is what I invite everybody. And see, all of us, you know, it's so funny because Dennis is always talking about our uniqueness. And I am all on board that absolutely, hands down, we are all unique beings. And the paradox, of course, is we can experience each other all together. That is the oneness.
Mm-hmm.
But in my humble opinion, the goal of oneness is not to lose our awareness of our uniqueness. Uniqueness will never, you're not going to go into a soup of oneness where, like, I actually read somebody's writing that said, you know, and when the journey's over, your soul with all your experiences gets back into the oneness, and literally it just disintegrates into the oneness, but you lose your individuality.
Mm-hmm.
I don't resonate with that at
all.
No,
I was going to say, I'm just mad at that. Nah.
Yeah. To me, the uniqueness is part of the journey, but it can be experienced. We can experience an interconnectedness with all of life, all people, all nature, but there's no losing the uniqueness, because that's what makes us us.
You wouldn't
lose what makes us us as we got higher into the soul. You would gain more of what makes us us as we get closer to the veils are coming down, but not to be, you know, thrown back into a soup where you only think from group consciousness. And I know that's a lot of the you know, the galactic channeling. So, but I don't resonate with that. But anyways, Susan Cher was exquisite. What the audience doesn't know, Susan writes to me and Janine. You know, whenever she's inspired to write to us, emails after the show, and her shares are just extraordinary. What she garnishes from each show, and the insights that she garnishes, and her just sheer honesty about what's going on in her life. I love it, and I welcome anybody if you want to start, you know, emailing me and or Janine after the shows. You know, I don't post those. I love it, because the show is really, you know, me and Janine are out here pretty much being transparent in our lives for obvious reasons, because we welcome you to be transparent, because it's okay. It's okay to show up angry or... Everything's okay as long as we're self-responsible. That's the only thing that I do. You know, no, this isn't a dumping ground, and you know, and I don't think anybody feels that as a listener, anyways. But it's about a sharing of the trials and the tribulations, and the times we're going uphill, and the times we're cruising downhill, and the times we're just blatantly falling all over ourselves, and it's all okay. You know, we laugh, we giggle. But ultimately, all we do is just love each other on our journeys, and it's exquisite.
Yeah, it is, because there's I mean, I can't overstate it, that there's some authentic presence that it just pulls in these wonderful surprises that, you know, you just want to stay in the moment. It encourages me to stay in the moment.
Because
the more I stay in the moment, the more these wonderful surprises keep happening. And it's just so much fun. I mean, you know, I'm still more spacey Janine than non-spacey Janine, but I do feel almost like oxygenated from, you know, the show, and then Susan calling in. But I can even tell that the chat room has an energy that's adding to me and the show, and that's good. I mean, that's tonight. I don't know how I'll feel another night, but I'm just telling you how I feel tonight, that I feel a real participation. I feel it, you know.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, and it's like oxygen, you know.
it's certainly life-giving energy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is life-giving energy. I agree.
Yeah, and I like it too, because, you know, it's not a neurotransmitter buzzy thing. It's a presence thing. You know, it's not like a, like, you know.
No, it's not an electrical buzz.
No,
right,
it's just a presence thing, and. You know,
we got another caller. I'm going to grab another caller. Are you cool with that?
Sure.
I think it's Kevin, but I'm not sure. Mm. Hi, area code 407. You're on the air.
Well, surprise, Janine.
Hi.
What's up, Goldie?
Yay!
What's up?
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Hi.
Hey, doing great, guys. Thanks for the show so far. I appreciate what you're doing, and Susan was awesome. Shout outs to her as well.
Right on. It's our family, man. This is the mystical Mother Earth family. Come gather.
All right.
How are you?
What's going on, Kevin? Yeah, what's going on?
I mean, what the point is, experiencing the extraordinary and the ordinary, right?
Right, in the
absolutely.
Moment.
Absolutely. As always.
The moment.
Well, yeah, I mean,
the moment. Yeah. What?
No, I'd say all is very well.
Good.
Yeah.
All is very
well.
Well,
you got to give us more details than that, because you know if you're around here. We're looking
hey,
to dive
I
a little
have...
deeper than that.
Huh? Hey, I guess keeping it general, I guess, is the best I can do now because, man, to just add more onto it is I don't know, because
okay,
all is well.
All right, that's authentic. Okay, all right.
You know, everything,
are you
going to
stick around? Again, because I'm going to keep you on. We'll just keep you on and we'll keep talking then. You know, I'll keep you on, you know, where if you want to add. Because you're always welcome to on my show, on our show, to add. You know, I like when you share. When you share, there's the presence shows up when Kevin's talking. That's
thanks
the truth.
A lot. Thanks a lot, guys.
You're
hey,
welcome.
You guys, no, just mirroring you. That's it. But
right on.
You know,
I love it. That was good.
Everything progressing smoothly. I can't. It's just I guess. Trying to be the new Earth now.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably one of the best ways I can put it. But not really
okay.
trying.
Anything magical happened recently or lately or that you care to share? You know, something synchronistic or, you know, just if you were in the flow and you knew it and something happened, you know, anything.
Well, there's something about, I was spending some time here actually the past week with two little baby cousins. One is 5, one is 3. She's from my mom's side of the family.
Okay.
And it's just amazing what I experienced with them because they really teach you a lot, don't they, the little children?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here's the most interesting part of the teaching that I was experiencing with them. They don't have the most conscious parents, I'd say that, but I say it out of respect. So they're already experiencing this conditioning with this whole ego mind, if you will. So it was a little challenging to deal with that because they fight over certain things, they fight for toys and whatnot, and just trying to be better than each other and things like that. You already see those old conditioned mind patterns surfacing within them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to do my best to. How do I say this? Just delete that programming by just loving them as they are and loving myself, too, in the process, of course.
Mm.
So I think I did share with you once, though, the lesson that my brother and I shared with them that really helped them out. But that was a while back. More recently, though, my brother and I have tried again because my brother is fairly conscious as well, too. He's 16. I think I told you about him. And he's a good one. He's a smart one. Well, he always helps me out a lot, too, with them whenever I have some trouble or we want to offer them some nice lessons. But one of the main points is we try to teach them that it's not about the toy. You know, it's not about this toy versus that toy, and it's not about your toy. One of the things I was telling them was, she's like, oh, no, give me my whatever. It could be a shirt. It could be a cookie or whatever. This is mine. We tell them, hey, actually, it's not yours. It's God's. Okay? I said, it's not yours. It's not mine. It's God's. And they're like, who's that? You know, they kind of question, what do you mean? And I'm like, just don't worry about it. The point is, it's not yours and it's not mine. And it's funny because it creates a sort of space because I'm like, wait a second. Wow, it's not mine. It's not his either. So it's kind of like there's a moment of just space there because there's that whole illusion of ownership is momentarily gone.
Okay.
So that's part of the little teaching we were offering, and it does help because then they get lost in the space and they forget about the toy, and we just start laughing in the moment. You know?
that is so funny because the other day I was talking to Goldie and we were talking about, you know, talking to people who may have a perspective that might be one way of seeing something. So I said to Goldie, well, sometimes it's really helpful to start off with, have you considered? And it and the thing I said to her was, and this is obviously to an adult, but you did the same thing in that I said it creates a space and
yeah.
for a shift in a perspective. So it's mm-hmm. funny because I never heard anyone else say that, like, and you just said it, and this seems to be a subject that you have a resonance with, because we've talked about, well, you know, be open to letting go of thinking you know everything, because then you create space for something new. And it's basically like in dialogue with people, and now you did it with little children who you wouldn't say have you considered, but when you present the question, that's kind of like it's got a looseness to it. It's like it's not yours,
yeah.
it's not
well,
mine.
An
it's
open-ended
not,
question. Yeah, it's an
right,
open-ended
it creates
question.
A space, and I think that's
right.
really cool. Yeah. So I was
right
just, I was just,
right on.
Just another parallel.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, I like it.
That's the adult
I like
version.
It too. Yeah, no, listen. Well, and Eckhart Tolle talks all about it, you know. Part of what's kind of interesting, like when I listen to Eckhart Tolle's work, and he's all about the power of now.
Oh, yeah.
He says that, you know, for us to resist what is so futile, because what is already is. So to resist it, you know, it's futile. And he says what you want to do is in the time that what's happening to you, you're really not comfortable with, or you don't really like it, the first question to ask yourself is, can I be the space for this? Because his whole key is, first be the space, then accept it, which kind of goes hand in hand. The minute you ask yourself, can I be the space for it, you know, the answer, of course, has to be yes, I can be the space for it, from the logical physics point of view, because it's there. That's why we,
yeah.
of course we know we're the space, but there's a difference between connecting with that space to working through it, as like what Janine was saying earlier, when we're in the flow, you can feel the fluidity, and fluidity is clearly, it's not stagnant. Life is not stagnant. It's so funny how many people will say to me, but if I accept my circumstance, that means it won't change. And of course, the alchemy and the truth of it is the exact opposite. No, once you genuinely accept it, it will morph. Because it's in the accepting of it that now there's no resistance to it. Now you're back in the flow, and it just keeps moving and changing. It stops. We experience the feeling that it's not changing when we're resisting the flow.
I mean, didn't they say that there's that saying, what you resist persists, right?
So exactly. Exactly.
Your resistance to it is what keeps it there, because of the value that it has in terms of your soul's growth. That's how I see it. There's still a lesson there, and that's why it's there.
Yeah, okay. Well, and the lesson is even simply just the acceptance that, you know, you've created something maybe that you didn't want. Because,
exactly.
I mean, it makes me laugh when people go, I want to connect to my creatorship. It's like, whoa. You're always creating, even when you don't feel connected as a creator. You know, it's like, because I think people in general are saying that they want to connect with their creatorship because they want to, you know, have more control of what they're creating. And ultimately what I have found, the wisdom is, I have absolutely no control of what I'm creating, but if I'm in flow with it, then what I'm creating is one wild ride. just one wild ride.
The Abraham Hicks, the teachings there offer, I think, such amazing clarity and insight into what you were just saying about the creating your life on purpose kind of thing. They call it deliberate creation.
Yes, yes, I agree.
Because
keep going.
And there's a point that can be understood there, because then there's the whole argument of free will at that point, but it's more of just, they like to call it vibrational alignment with who you really are.
Yes.
And what that means is basically following your highest joy, or following joy, period, following the best possible feeling thought you can in the moment. And when you do that, what can life be besides a joyful experience at that point, when all you're reaching for is joy, when all you're choosing to be in the moment is joy? It's that whole reflection effect. I mean, we cannot stop reiterating this because it's so important, that it's, you have to smile first and then life will smile back at you. You know?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well,
so,
I agree. Go ahead.
And I see that as Susan's Hawk in the triple one. You know, it's like, you know, in that moment, she just that spontaneous in the joy thing was her thinking the idea, thinking the question, and the hawk flies by and she sees the license plate with the triple one. It's kind of that, it's right there. It's instantaneous. It's like, so, you know, what you just said, Kevin, to me was Susan has many examples of that, but we all
sure.
do. We all do.
We all do. Definitely.
It's happening all the time, you know, and I just, the flow thing and the tipping point thing, and it just seems like the more you, like the whole resistance, non-resistance, it just seems like there's a point where it just keeps happening, and you know, I can't explain it, but I feel it, you know, and yeah, and these shows to me are actually examples of it.
That's a beautiful space. Well, because the only thing I would say, and this is just my perception, it's what works for me.
Go ahead.
I've listened to Abraham Hicks. I've been signed up to them. I definitely find their material very, very helpful for me on my journey. For me,
great.
Though, I had to shift the word joy because I'll be honest with you, I there's a dark part of me that has to be acknowledged, and the dark part of me doesn't necessarily follow joy. But yet,
perfect.
It's very authentic. So the way, for what worked for me, the same information, I just follow my soul.
Right.
Because even when I go, listen, I intentionally go into dramatic situations. I am not done playing with drama. I'm not done playing with fire. But there's this, it's a flipped kind of thing because, but I enjoy doing that. And I don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to give it up.
Well, that's very, very, very interesting, I'd have to say, because I'm not really sure how to say this anything clearly, I guess, because you're right.
And
it's
be
just
honest,
your,
don't
it's
edit
your perspective.
Yourself. Don't,
no, because it's
exactly,
your perspective.
Exactly.
And I can't,
okay.
And it's not my job to just force off my perspective. I'm just sharing just like you guys openly.
Right on. And I welcome your shares, Kevin, because I want it to be that we don't have to always agree, but we can always share, even if we don't agree. If you would play with that with me, I would love that.
Well, they'll be like, agreeing is boring.
Exactly.
Like, if you watch the film,
see, that's
like,
a dark side. Isn't that a dark thing? I think that would be considered, quote-unquote, a dark thing, that we don't have to agree. Exactly.
It would be considered dark thing because people talk about how a movie wouldn't be a movie without the evil guy. You know, you need the evil there to make it entertaining, don't you?
Well, and to be honest, yes, you do, well, to make it a well-rounded story. Truly.
Well, as a runner, I could see if I was running with Goldie that she'd be going, come on, let's do all the hills. And I'd be like, I'll be like, oh, man. Oh, that's, you know, she's like,
wow.
Come on, Jay.
That is funny. That is funny. But, well, I'm just honest that, you know, and because I'm honest
like
that
honest.
I, we do like honest, right? And we welcome honest. And we welcome the dark side, that I am the poster child for the dark side. It's who I am. But it was interesting because on some level, when Susan was talking about that third presence being something of a catalyst, I know I'm a catalyst too. And I believe the dark and the catalyst are very much they're partners. You know, there's a partner. That's why I also totally agree that health is not necessarily the journey of soul.
Right. The proof.
It's not proof that you're talking to your soul. You can absolutely have, you know, health challenges and still be on a soulful path. So, you know, it's just, that's just how I experience it. And Kevin, I always love when you call in. Always love when you share. We missed you last week, and you know, we're flying all over the place on these spontaneous shows. I have to make a nice little mailing list that I can get to everybody that I want to know. The true supporters of our show when we're playing spontaneously, because you're always welcome. Always.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
I
Saturday was fun. Just it occurred, and yes, you know, anytime, come on.
Yeah, I don't even know if you knew about it. I'm not sure if I sent you a private message or not.
I see
so.
It, but and I probably did tune in for a little while, but then
okay.
probably had things to do.
Oh, right on. Okay, and I get it. Sometimes you want to share, and sometimes you're just listening. I mean, it's all good. It's always perfect and divine, you know, as only we can be.
Yeah, because sometimes I feel like you guys cover it very well, and there's just kind of no need for me to say much.
Okay, I honor that. And we're clear, though, right? We don't always have to agree, and that's cool, right? Because I'm cool with that. Are you cool with that?
I'm 100% cool with that, because this is a diverse experience here. That's why we have all these different forms all over the place. If we just... It's not the point to just have one philosophy that we all just say, oh, I'm right, you know, that's not...
Yeah, yeah.
No, see, and that's why exactly, and this is why the show thrives, this is why it's a constant, it's a living being, it's a living, breathing entity, and I mean, truly, the reason why I just posed that at you is because your response, I want the audience to hear your response. I know you get it, now share that, because that's why I love when you're on my show. You do have the clarity, and I can throw these kind of comments at you, and you're just bam,
sure.
You're there.
Sure,
I love it. Yeah, so thank you.
Thank you, because yeah, I mean, we're not here to just baby each other. We're here to challenge each other as well, and that's what brings
exactly.
out
exactly yes
the things we need
yes.
to work on. You know?
Yes, so. Yes. And it
Isn't
goes
that,
always. We're all challenging each other. There's not one person here challenging and the other people, you know. All of us interconnected challenge each other. Truly.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, and
great,
then you start
great.
To see how... Yeah, awesome.
Wait,
how
you see how what?
Finish
then.
Yeah, I was going to say, you start to see the intelligence, really, of how life operates. And that's why it's just that saying also that life knows what it's doing, so leave it alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Because it's an intelligent orchestration that you can see it's always trying to heal itself. We're always working towards healing, if you see it in one way, where we cannot but address the issues that are bothering us. We're always
yeah.
doing it. We're always
yeah,
working
that's
for
true.
That. So it's just, it's funny because you honor every experience once you know that it's here to help you out. All right? It's here to help you out.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be, right? I mean, that's pretty basic.
Yeah, I mean, and even if what I was saying was just in the, even if, how am I going to say this? Yeah, because they're like, how do you have proof for what I'm saying? How do I have proof that life is an intelligent orchestration? And give it a try.
Well,
give it a try. Yeah,
well,
it's kind of like.
I mean, we just keep getting them example after example of. You know, the money, Susan driving up with six kids in the car with no money and a baby and 10-year-old, and she's a single mom and she does it anyway. And I mean, how many times have you seen money flying on the side of the road? I you know, that's going to be one of those stories I'll tell and go, can you believe that? But that's that third intelligence. I don't know, but you know, there's something going on and, you know, it's every day. It's being affirmed. You know,
mm-hmm.
So.
I think we normally just, well, a lot of us are just not aware of the power that's available here.
Exactly.
And we don't choose to tap into it, because every time I make the decision to have my experience be easier, like say, again, when I was experiencing some conflict with the girls, I just said, okay. I made a quick intention to make the situation better. What I said was, I wish for harmony in this moment. Mm-hmm. I said that about three times during the conversation, during this conflict that they were having. And within a couple of minutes, it was resolved. I wonder why.
Well, let me ask, was it you that shifted your perception, or was it the girls?
Well, you know, it's a collective thing,
okay.
The way I
okay.
see it, because it does happen all together. But
okay.
I think to address your point more specifically, I'd say that, yeah, if I start to have my dominant vibrational offering, as they like to say, as my dominant frequency as harmony, if I start
mm-hmm.
to believe that that's what I am, then
mm-hmm.
I will see that reflected. And I did.
Yeah.
I trusted that that was going to be the outcome, and it was the outcome. So when you mentioned Susan in these situations, really, it can be experienced in harmony if she chooses to be that harmony in the moment. You have to choose to be the harmony now.
Yeah.
So that
I agree.
It's reflected. Yeah. So I'm just saying through I've experienced it, and it is a decision, but again, you have to know it. You have to feel that it's what you desire in the moment, and sometimes you have to experience all this contrast, as it's worded. You have to experience the good and the bad so that you realize more clearly what it is you want and how you want to experience life.
Absolutely. And also, more intentionally, I mean, you know, I'll be honest with you. The life I live is literally, I have one focus for as a dominant vibration to connect fully with my soul. That's it. Beyond that, it shows up as different things, whether it's my relationship with Scott or a health problem or situation or a job. It doesn't matter. It always comes down to one thing. Am I connecting with my soul? Because I'll be honest with you, my body, I've been at this for so long that I'm really starting to fine-tune it, that I really am getting clearly it is not the mind that tells me when I'm connected to my soul. It is my body that tells me when I am and or not. And I'll be honest with you, when I am, it's definitely a presence. But when I'm not, I feel it distinctly, like, you know, I was told the other night, don't go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Okay. All I know is I got the feeling, and, you know, I'm just not at a space where I have to question it, analyze it. I just honor it. Okay, we're not going to Kentucky Fried Chicken. And like I joked and said, I kind of let it weigh, so it was so present in my experience. I went, oh, just give me a hamburger. We'll stay away from chicken altogether. I can eat a burger just as easy. You know, where did this come from? This has come from a life living without connection to my soul, and clearly, you know, feeling nowhere near the value that I feel my life has now. And value not from a dollars and cents, but value from the level of awareness that the preparation for what we're coming up, you know, in 2012. This is not just any year. We are coming up with, you know, NASA posted I didn't want to talk about this, but I'm gonna. NASA posted an article that basically said an asteroid that they're tracking, and they figure it to hit Earth in 11 months, which is basically somewhere around February 15th, 2013. And, you know, when I see, it was on Mr. Comet Watch, this guy I watch for my solar flare information and volcanic activity and all sorts of, you know, planetary information. Now, here's my truth. When I saw that, he talked about it, and he gave the link to the article. I went to the article, and this is NASA doing this. Here's my experience of that information. My experience is from the director's chair going, okay, the agendas have started to show up. The agendas of how the world may end. Because I know from my own soul-connected space that the agendas are going to start. I don't know if it's going to be ETs, you know, planning a duel on Earth, or, you know, a fight on Earth, or whether it's going to be a tsunami. But I'm conscious of it, and when I see it, I go, immediately I say to myself, agenda number one has just shown up on the field of awareness. Okay, we're now entering that part of the movie. Because I really do look at this as very congruent with the movies such as Lord of the Rings and The Matrix. And, you know, because I make that congruency, I clearly get that both of those movies, in the third movie, right before it all became amazingly good, it was amazingly bad. I mean, it looked like Zion was going to be overtaken by the machines, and it looked like they were all going to die if Frodo and Sam didn't get the ring into the fire. So I'm preparing myself emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically as much as I can. Mm-hmm. That, okay, there's a sign. The sign of one of the big players behind the scenes just laid a card down. the asteroid card. Now, I have no fear of this whatsoever. I was going to post it on my Facebook page, and I went, I can't post it, though, because in all honesty, I won't support the potential fear they're going to try to raise, but I want to talk about it from the space of, like I said, the director's chair. Okay, the director's chair goes, okay, that scene has just been inserted into the movie because NASA posted an article about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, that's how I play. You know, that's how I play right now. And I play that way because I have the connection with my soul, who is already, you can't die when you're connected with your soul. I mean, I thoroughly expect that when it's time for me to leave this body, I will walk the conscious death walk. It will be a, whether it's through, you know, a portal, an organic portal, or if it comes down to that death comes to me from, you know, an asteroid hitting, let's just say that, where however it is that I'm going to leave my physical body this time will be conscious. I will do it consciously. I have no fear because I've played enough in the realms of my soul to recognize my own eternity. And once you recognize something like that, it can't get turned off. I can't just say I don't know that awareness. I have that awareness, and it is supporting this whole creative journey that we're now entering, you know, another stage of, another phase of. 2012 will be a journey of, you know, of big things coming to closure. You know, whether it be systems of banking and religion, or natural systems coming to, you know, work like the planet. So, you know, I find it to be assisting me to be connected to my soul. It's just my experience.
I can relate. I do feel like it's this stuff. There's a really genuine, supportive, powerful kind of wave of energy coming in that is thrusting us forward into that, what do they call it, quantum leap.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yes. Agreed.
And not buying into that drama agenda of, you know, I don't feel that at all. I mean, it doesn't even have a 0.1% resonance with me. You know, I don't feel it.
Yeah. And for me, I play with the drama, but I'm not afraid of it.
No,
but
I mean,
I still go into.
You know?
Yeah, no, I get it. Meaning,
like
I still
that
listen to my conspiracy theories. I still listen to conspiracy theorists, you know. I listen to all this, and that doesn't necessarily mean I'm buying into it. But I'm interested in what they have to say, and because I have no fear, you know, it's not like I'm having nightmares at night because I'm watching it. You know, but I'll be honest with you, it's not like I listen to the news because, in my humble opinion, I'm just not interested in the violence of the lives we live in, and I know that it is very violent. I know it is.
Sure.
I'm not personally interested in the violence of it, but I am interested in the drama of human behavior. I am. I watch reality TV shows. You're clearly interested in the drama, if that's what you're... I mean, and in all honesty, I named my other show another reality show based on almost the polar opposite of reality shows from the drama perspective. Well, what if we had another reality show that was from the, you know, the director's chair perspective of... You know, where we wouldn't have to be so manipulated in a negative way. We would be more fully aware, you know, kind of cruising through Dante's Inferno. I mean, cruising on a surfboard through hell. I mean, I believe that's possible. And I'll be damned, I believe it's my mission to prove it.
Oh, man, that's cool. I'll be videotaping it.
That's my guy. There you go. I love it. That was a great answer, Kat. That was a great answer. So you know, it's there's deep stuff going on. We're in it. We're living in it. And the show and our presence, in my humble opinion, really make a difference. We do. We make a difference. And I think it's awesome. I appreciate both of you and Susan and
all
the people in the chat room. Yeah, you guys rock.
Yeah, you guys rock.
Simon was listening.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see Simon. Yeah, I got to tell him he's got to come into the... Yeah, because if he's online, he should be...
Yeah.
He should come into the chat room.
Yeah, yeah.
because it's his way that he could be a part of the room and literally live with the other people as opposed to just listening alone in Norway. So I'll talk to him about that. Okay, so
All right.
We got it. Yeah, let's bring this to a close. Kevin, any news you want to share? Meditations, places they can find you? Anything going on?
Actually, that's still in the works.
All right, no worries. And I'm not putting you on the spot. I didn't ask you to. You know, you're the work in progress.
Yeah.
Well, you're on Facebook, right?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook.
Yeah.
Do you want to share? Do you want to share how people can find you? There you go.
Yeah, and they should, like I always say, they should be seeing me on your page or somewhere there on your front page.
Yeah. Oh, totally. You can find him on my, yes, most definitely.
Kevin.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Right
on.
Kevin R.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, and Janine?
Yeah, thank you. Well, I have two websites. It's jlkimmel.com and springtreepress.com. And you can catch me on the Facebook with Goldie, too, so... and write me anytime to anybody wants to.
Well, you want to give out your emails if they want to do an email?
Oh, sure. It's my name, Janine Kimmel, JanineKimmel at gmail.com.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you can find us here. You can find me here. You can find me at anotherrealityshow.com. And my email is goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. And if, you know, you want to share insights that you garnished from the show or, you know, if you want to share anything, I'd love it. I'd love to hear from you guys either on Facebook or email or like, you know, Susan and Kevin did tonight. You can call in.
Yay.
Stay connected. Yeah. It's been a beautiful day, a beautiful night. Thank you. I love when you guys are... there's just harmony. God knows, Kevin, you really do. You bring it. I can never end the show when you first come on. It's just so clearly harmonious. It's like, no, I can't turn this off. I don't want to turn this off.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, the harmony is definitely being felt here. I love it. I feel like it's only going to intensify, and I'm ready for it.
Okay.
Yeah, right on. And it's part of that protective membrane that I spoke about. I really believe harmony... That's one of the virtues of the ether is that when your focus is harmony, life works. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. Life works. So right on, Kev. Right on. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Good night, you guys.
All right. Good night, everybody. We'll talk soon. I'll get Janine to do another spontaneous show. You watch.
Okay.
All right. Good night, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Bye now.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Oh, wow.
Bye.
I'm so glad we had
fun together.
We have a laugh or sing a song. We just get started, and before you know it.